Hello and welcome to Quiz Time India. This week on the show, we have Bodhanapu Vishnu. Coorg is in Karnataka.
So it was observed during solar eclipse.
The highest gallantry award of the country.
Like I have a feeling that controversy is related to Kerala.
Punjab, J&K, Himachal Pradesh and Chandigarh.
Or the people who were in the submarines or the Indian Navy.
So put on your thinking caps and fasten your seatbelts. The show is about to begin. Welcome to Quiz Time India, India's first quizzing and trivia podcast. As always, we start the show with some trivia for you. Did you know 113 cups of coffee could possibly kill a human? Scary, right? Also, did you know the oldest object in the British crown jewels is a spoon? If you didn't know such fatal yet trivial sort of trivia, you have come to the right place, Quiz Time India, the podcast. First up, right off the bat, I would like to take a moment to thank Anuradha, Nitin, Preeti, Sohan and Harish for contributing to keep the podcast running. I really, really, really appreciate your support. Remember, we work on a pay what you like basis. So, if you end up enjoying what you're listening to, you can go to the links in the description and pay. No amount is less and every penny counts. Thanks. Going further, on a totally different note and tangent, have you ever sit in front of a Netflix screen and kept scrolling until you gave up and watched another season of Friends or Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Yeah? Or maybe for you, YouTube keeps playing the same old 10 songs for you again and again. If that is the case, check out our newsletter, Disc Content, a curated, hand-picked bunch of movies, music, podcasts, YouTube videos and articles. Enough masala to spice up your week. Go to studio41.substack or, as always, the link is in the description. Getting on with the show, last time around we had Manasdeep on the show and this was his audience question.
So we are talking about a young and promising cricketer. This gentleman started his cricket career pretty early and in fact led his school side at the school World Cup in Aligarh when he was barely 7 years old. Cut to a decade later, he almost ended up missing leading the Indian team in the Under-19 World Cup when he and his father were involved in a road accident. Under his captaincy, this team in that Under-19 World Cup, which he was finally able to join for, the team won 5 consecutive matches before losing in the finals against West Indies. Now, this young guy coming to IPL, he reportedly expressed a desire to play for either the Chennai Super Kings or Rajasthan Royals, but ultimately he was picked up by the Gujarat Lions at the age of 17. In 2018, the guy was picked up by his current squad for a bank breaking ₹6.2 crore. All I need to know is who's this young cricketer.
And the correct answer was given by Bhaskar Chakraborty. And the correct answer was wicketkeeper batter Ishan Kishan. Congratulations Bhaskar for getting the answer correct. And just like Bhaskar, you can also participate in our audience question. The audience question is at the end of each episode and you can listen to that and you can answer. Simple as that. Now to this week's episode. This week on the podcast, we have Vishnu from Hyderabad. He is the co-founder and chief content tailor at TACON Knowledge Solutions. His topics of interest are history, how things work, stories behind daily customs and Indian epics. And without any further ado, and on that note, welcome to Quiz Time India. Hello Vishnu, welcome to Quiz Time India. It is good to have you here after being following your quizzes for a while. It's good to have you on Quiz Time India. How are you doing today?
Good, I'm doing good. Everything is fine. How are you?
Just excited to start the quiz with you, to exchange questions with you. And as always, for those who are joining us for the first time, how we do this is every week I'm joined by a guest. This time we have Vishnu with us. Along with me, the guest also prepares a set of questions. And then we take turns asking each other these questions. And with each question, hopefully we all get to learn something new. We all get some food for thought. This is quizzing. This is about trivia, but it's not competitive. The idea is not on cracking the answer, but it's about knowing something new, about understanding something new. So I start with the first question so that we can get into the rhythm of sorts so that I can show you how it's done. And from then, the next question will be you and then we'll take turns. So as I said, So as I said, the first question I will be asking you, and for the first question, we will be going towards a ruler. His name was Chikka Veera Rajendra. He was the ruler of Coorg. Coorg is in Karnataka, present-day Karnataka. Now, Chikka is a prefix which normally means younger. So, Veera Rajendra's uncle was also Veera Rajendra, and hence he, our hero was called Chikka Veera Rajendra, as in the younger Veera Rajendra. Now, as I said, he was the ruler of Coorg, which is in present-day Karnataka. Now, Veera Rajendra lost his kingdom and he was deposed and exiled. This happened on 24th April 1834. So this is almost 170, 180 years ago.
Okay.
Before leaving, he asked the ruler who overthrew him to adopt his daughter Gauramma.
Okay.
He believed this way Gauramma could have a better or a slightly comfortable life.
Okay.
The ruler did adopt Gauramma, but only in name. She was a princess, but she was kept with different families related to the ruler.
Okay.
The locals did not approve of the ruler adopting an outsider, and Gauramma particularly struggled with the attention and pressure of expectations placed on her to become a model princess. The ruler banned Gauramma from having any further contact with her father and family, thinking that if she goes on to meet her father and her family, she would lead to her, and I say this in quotes, native and heathen ways, like uncultured ways.
Okay.
Then Gauramma made repeated attempts to run away. Eventually, she married and had a child, but she was weak in health, and at the age of 23, she passed away.
Okay.
Now, what I want you to tell me is, what was so special about Princess Gauramma, and why did her name appear briefly due to a recent controversy?
Recent controversy?
Hmm.
Is the recent controversy related to Karnataka or Kerala? Like, I have a feeling that controversy is related to Kerala. Is it?
No, not really. Actually, not even close.
Oh, is it a political controversy? Like, I'm only thinking about political controversies. Am I on the right track?
Sort of, yes. Sort of, yes. It has political importance, is what I can say. So, I'll quickly repeat the question once more so that you have all the details. Chikka Veera Rajendra was the ruler of Coorg. He lost his kingdom and he was exiled. Before giving away his kingdom, he asked the ruler who took over his kingdom that if they could adopt his daughter Gauramma so that the daughter could at least have a better life or a comfortable life. The ruler adopted Gauramma but really didn't take much care of her. Gauramma ended up staying with different families who were related to the ruler, and she constantly tried to run away. There were pressures on her. First of all, some locals did not like the idea that the ruler had adopted an outsider, and there were a lot of pressures on her to be a proper princess, which she didn't want to be in that situation. The ruler did not want Gauramma to meet her family, to meet her parents. The ruler thought that Gauramma would go back to her native or sort of uncultured ways. And as I said, Gauramma made multiple attempts to run away. Eventually, she not exactly gave up, but sort of gave up and got married, had a child. But she was very weak in health and she passed away at the age of 23. And remember, this is 1830s, 1840s was when this happened. And what I want you to tell me is, what's so special about Princess Gauramma, and why did she, her name briefly appear due to a recent controversy? Recent controversy, we are recording in the first week of April. So in March 2021, this news came out. Something happened which was a global news, and briefly, somehow, Princess Gauramma's name popped up.
Initially, when I was listening to the question, I thought this is something related to Chikmagalur. Because Chikmagalur, I heard a similar story. Chikka means the same, the younger one. Magaluru means the younger daughter. She marries someone, and that's how there's some story. I'm not sure exactly what it is. So that's somehow related to the younger daughter being married. So I thought it's Chikmagalur and something related to Indira Gandhi, but I don't remember any controversy related to Indira Gandhi coming up in recent times. And then you're highlighting the native thing in the question. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Now I'm thinking about Mamata Banerjee accusing or targeting Modi or BJP, saying that they're outsiders in Bengal. Is it something related to that?
No.
But that's okay, again not a global controversy.
Yeah, it's a global controversy. It's not an Indian controversy per se. I mean, Gaurama is not directly a part of the entire controversy, but because this controversy happened, people have gone back into history. And as I said, a controversy happened in 2021, but Gaurama's story is from 1830, 1840. So people have gone back and said, you know, this had also happened, that there was someone called Gaurama.
Is it related to the royal family, the interview of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle?
Yes. So you are on the right track.
There are many memes. I did not see the interview, but I've seen all the memes which are coming on Facebook.
Same.
Should be about that. Like, she ran away from the royal palace, the royal duties, basically. She didn't like the royal atmosphere. Maybe the same thing.
Yeah, but I need a more specific answer than that. You are on the right track.
Maybe they compared Meghan Markle with Gaurama, who just wanted to run away from these forced royal duties. Or, yeah, something like that. There must be a meme on this. It means comparing basically Meghan Markle with Gaurama.
You are right. You are right. They're comparing Meghan Markle to Princess Gaurama. But there is another level of specific connect that I'm looking for in there.
Okay, maybe 1834, you said 1834,
yeah.
Right? So, British might have had some role in all this episode at that time. They were messing up with all the royal families at that time. So, they messed up with our royal families. Now that's happening to their royal families. Is that some meme that which came out?
No, it's not a meme which came out. But actually, you know what? Okay. I will give you the answer. So, you were almost in the ballpark. And what had happened was that in 1834, Chikavira Rajendra lost his kingdom to the British.
Okay.
And Princess Gaurama, on 5th July 1852, she was baptized in a ceremony conducted at Buckingham Palace by the Archbishop of Canterbury, with the Queen as godmother / sponsor, giving her the name Victoria. Hence, her name became Victoria Gaurama. And she was a part of the royal family of Britain. Gaurama was entrusted with Major and Mrs. Drummond, who were to groom her in Western thought. And they taught her how to use the cutlery and how to behave in the British society. She grew up in those idols, but did not have a great life. And the Queen Victoria, actually wanted Gaurama to marry Dileep Singh. Now, this is another fascinating story in this. Dileep Singh is said to be the last Maharaja of the Sikh Empire.
Yes.
Dileep Singh was kidnapped at the age of 15 by the crown and brought to Britain, where he became Queen Victoria's good friend. And apparently Queen Victoria has said to have said about the Maharaja that those eyes and those teeth are just too beautiful. The Queen wanted Dileep Singh to marry Gaurama, considering they both are actually from India. And some people, historians even say that if it would have happened, maybe India would have had a culture of interfaith marriages. But Gaurama refused. She didn't want to get married to Dileep Singh. Neither did Dileep Singh want to get married to Gaurama. Ultimately, Gaurama married the nearly 50-year-old Colonel Campbell on 2nd July 1861. And she gave birth to a baby girl whose name was Edith Victoria Gaurama Campbell. And soon after, Princess Gaurama passed away. And you got the answer. That was the entire thing. So whence Meghan Markle's controversy broke out, people remembered there was a princess who came to the royal family and who wasn't treated all so well, hence drawing parallels that maybe the British royal family has not changed their ways in the last 200 odd years. So that was the answer. Nice. Well done.
Nice.
All right, so that is what it was. And now it's your turn to ask me the question.
So I usually start my quizzes with a question from Hyderabad Hyderabad. So this is a question from Hyderabad, but valid throughout the country. You can guess it. So the Nizam of Hyderabad invited some families of North Indian accountants
okay.
to serve at his court.
Theek.
And these people were given a piece of land to construct a temple for their community's deity.
Mm-hmm.
Community's god. Okay. This is one among three only such temples in India.
Okay.
Okay, there are only three temples for this god in India. Who is the presiding deity of this temple at old city of Hyderabad? Simple. Think about a god known for taking account of everything in Hindu mythology.
Oh, interesting.
So, he is considered as a god of accountants. So, just think who could be the accountants.
So, I first thought, because you mentioned that this person does not have many temples to him, I thought it was Brahma, because I remember in the mythology, Brahma has someone curses Brahma, if I'm not mistaken, that Brahma will not be worshipped in a temple form, except for maybe some place which has a Brahma temple.
That is, I think it's Bhrigu Maharshi who curses Brahma, and Brahma has only one temple at Pushkar, I guess.
Okay. So it can't be Brahma, definitely.
No, then that's only one temple, so it's not can't be Brahma.
But then you mentioned the accountant bit, and
yes,
I remember Kuber is the lord of money and all of the riches. Is he the answer? Is he the one who's also in charge of accounts?
No, this is a person known for keeping accounts. Keeping accounts. I'm just saying accounts. I'm not saying about the money accounts or which account I'm talking about. This is the person who keeps the accounts in Hindu mythology.
Are we talking about Yamraj, something like that, who keeps the account of what? No, who's Yamraj's assistant? Who's Yamraj's assistant? Right? One second, I'll tell you the assistant. The one who keeps the entire accounts of how many, what karma a person has and if it's good or bad and.
Who is it?
Can't seem to recall.
And his name also matches with the one of the accountant families in India. It's a very famous surname. Very famous, like widely popular surname across North India. Accountants, basically I mean Baniyas. These are these are one of the Baniya communities. So one of the popular Baniya surname also matches with this god's name, part of this god's name.
I know this, but for some reason I can't remember the name. Who is with Yamraj? I mean, you've seen movies in which Kadir Khan is Yamraj and Asrani is his assistant.
If there is a movie on Yamraj, this person should be there.
Can you let the cat out of the bag? Can you just tell me the answer? Because I can't seem to remember it for the life of me.
It's Chitragupta.
Chitragupta.
Yeah.
And Chitragupta. What was the community?
Guptas. Guptas.
So that's where Gupta comes from, is it?
Not that's where. I just gave it as a hint. They're one of the Baniya communities and they were accountants and these people, they worship Chitragupta. That's just a connection. I don't know the exact origin, how they got the surname.
Okay. And where is this temple in Hyderabad?
It's in the old city of Hyderabad. In Hyderabad, you have different regions like old city, new city, and there is something called high-tech city where all the tech companies are there.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is the old city part of Hyderabad. So, Hyderabad, there's a river which passes through Hyderabad, Musi. So, one side of the city is, one side of the river is old city and another side is new city.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the old city of Hyderabad, you can find this temple. It's a small temple, not a very famous one. No, not even many people in Hyderabad knows it.
Tell me one thing, doesn't Charminar also have a temple underneath?
Yes, it has. But if you see the old pictures of Charminar, you don't even find that temple. There was just a story, folklore, that once Lakshmi came and she stayed in one of the pillars of Charminar. And just under the pillar, the temple came up and it's growing in size. That's it.
Before we go further, this is a quick reminder that now you can read our newsletter for free. Whichever app you're listening to the podcast on, just minimize it. Go to your browser and type studio41.substack.com. And voila, you will find Discontent, the newsletter, right in front of you. Dive into it to get your movie, music, podcast and reading recommendations. Also, while you're there, please do subscribe. And now, on with the show. So we'll move on to the next question now. This question is quite simple. This question, we go to 1999. The Kargil war is going on.
Okay.
And at one of the most strategic sites of the war is a young captain called Karnal Sher Khan.
Okay.
And the situation is such that this young captain Karnal Sher Khan is up against the opposition army alone.
Okay.
With he being the only one left at the base, he was fending off the approaching army from different sides.
Okay.
He held on to his post. He did not leave. And in fact, he ended up injuring and killing a lot of enemies before he succumbed to death. The enemy shot him and he died. The war went on and Karnal Sher Khan's story disappeared. Like how bravely he fought, nobody knew of it. Until some years later, a letter was discovered which mentioned of Sher Khan's bravery. He was later awarded the highest gallantry award of the country.
Okay.
What I want you to tell me is, what is so special about Sher Khan, Karnal Sher Khan, and who was behind the letter?
Who was behind the letter? I think, I'm guessing because you said that's the only one person there who was defending it and rest of them are Pakistanis. So, it must be some Pakistani soldier who is behind the letter.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? So, you need the person's name?
Sort of. Actually, you are almost there with the answer, but that's not what exactly the answer is.
Okay. I would have guessed Musharraf, but Musharraf did not fight on ground. I would guess General Bajwa was the person behind the letter. Maybe he fought on ground during the war. The present, I think the present person is Bajwa, right? President General of Pakistan is Bajwa.
It's so interesting that you have so many details, but they are just twisted. They are just flipped up on the other side. So, Karnal Sher Khan belonged to the Pakistani army and he was in charge of Tiger Hill.
Okay.
Brigadier MPS Bajwa of the Indian army was responsible for leading the charge for Tiger Hill. And this is what Brigadier Bajwa said. He's retired now. He said, "The Battle of Tiger Hill was won. We buried 30 enemy dead. I, thereafter, through civilian porters, got Captain Khan's body down from Tiger Hill. After a search, we found letters written by his wife in Urdu. The captain had really fought bravely. After this, there was a special arrangement made for dispatching his body to Delhi. And MPS Bajwa, Brigadier Bajwa, informed the general officer commanding that Khan was extremely brave and expressed the desire to write a small letter of appreciation and citation that Khan had fought very bravely and must be given his due recognition. And then Bajwa goes on to say a piece of paper with a handwritten citation was placed in his pocket. And his body was sent to Delhi, from where it was sent to Pakistan. But once it reached Pakistan, Pakistan refused to take his body, saying our soldiers never fought in the war. But later, of course, they had to accept that this was a Pakistani soldier. And that is when his family received the body. They found a letter that your son had been extremely brave in the war with a recommendation from Brigadier MPS Bajwa. And then the father showed the letter to the Pakistani army. And then the Pakistani army gave him the highest award, gallantry award, which is for Pakistan, it's Nishan-e-Haider. For us, it is Paramveer Chakra. And then his father, Karnal Sher Khan's father, wrote a letter to the Indian army, thanking the Indian army for recognizing his son. So yeah, you were there, but the situation was flipped.
Opposite answer. I actually gave the opposite answer. If I did not mention the countries, that would be correct answer, right?
I had actually set up the question also like this deliberately so that you would go in the other direction. Because I thought this was really fascinating. On one side, we had almost, I mean, two nuclear countries going to war. And after the war has been over, you see this side of the same people who have been fighting, who have been killing each other.
Yeah.
And I actually looked deeper and I found that during this 1965 Indo-Pakistan war, there was one person called the squadron leader A.B. Devaiya. He was nicknamed Wings of Fire and he was part of a strike mission on a Pakistani airbase when he was attacked by an enemy aircraft. He shot down a couple of planes, but in the process, his aircraft was damaged and went missing. Indian Air Force thought that he had passed away. Like, he had probably crashed somewhere and he had died. Nobody ever found any remains of his or any of his plane. Basically, Indian Air Force was not aware of what happened to Devaiya. And they first recorded him missing and then later declared him dead. But then the Pakistani Air Force hired a British writer much, much later in the 70s to write an account of the war. And that British writer, John Fricker, ended up speaking to a lot of Pakistani army sources and, you know, Air Force sources. And then it was revealed that Devaiya, when he crashed, his body was almost intact. And but he had passed away in the crash. His body was almost intact. And the villagers took him and buried him and made a small, you know, burial space for him. And after Fricker's work was released by the Pakistani army, the Indian Air Force finally realized what had truly happened. And in 1988, they announced the Mahavir Chakra to be awarded to Devaiya posthumously. This is the only posthumous Mahavir Chakra that the Indian Air Force has received. And Mrs. Devaiya received the Mahavir Chakra in 1988, 23 years after the war. So again, a very interesting situation where a Pakistani army source has led to an Indian
given a gallantry award.
Yeah. So that was my question. Now it's your turn.
I'll not give any clues initially, but later I'll give you.
Done.
So, a thin green line was observed during the solar eclipse. Okay. It was thought it is because of a certain element named X. It was thought that there's certain element which we don't know, which we are not aware of it. They named it as X. I need X here. So it was observed during solar eclipse. There are rays of colored lights, green, red and blue, coming out from solar eclipse, and it was believed that it's because of an element called X. Okay, this was in, this was back in 17th and 18th centuries.
Okay.
Mendeleev, the person who created the periodic table, the present periodic table, also created a space for this. He kept many empty spaces in the periodic table, right, which can be filled later on. So he created a space for this, and he thought it should, it could be lighter than hydrogen, and named it as Newtonium. He named it as Newtonium. That is one, that was one of the names. I'm asking for another popular name, X. It was only in 1950s, after we had our powerful telescopes, we realized that this is not because of an element, but because of, but it is the result of the ionized metals during the eclipse. You got it right. We, our scientists, like the scientists thought in 18th and 17th centuries that it is because of an unknown element, and they named it as X because it was observed during solar eclipse. Because it was observed during solar eclipse. That's a clue there. And Mendeleev gave it a name as Newtonium and gave a space in a periodic table. And he thought it will be lighter than hydrogen. That won't help you, but that's just an extra information. And in 1950s, after we had the powerful telescopes, we realized that it's not because of any unknown element. It's only because of the ionized metals.
So
we are seeing this green light. So what did the scientists believe the reason behind this green light? Which element? Which non-existent element?
They saw a green light in the spectrum perhaps, and they gave it a name. Mendeleev believed this to be an element, and he even cleared a spot in the periodic table saying it is Newtonium, lighter than hydrogen.
Yes.
But in the 1950s, we realized it is not because of a new element. It is in fact because of a different reason, which you mentioned, is the ionization of metal that we are seeing this color.
So
what is this?
You have a guess. If you can't get it, I'll give you a clue.
So how were they observing the solar eclipse? Was it any equipment that was being used to observe it? Any clue over there?
You can normally see the solar eclipse with a normal eye, right? They were normally observing it, and we had telescopes in 17th and 18th century, so they were observing with telescopes also.
We had
the telescope was invented in 1607, if I'm not wrong, 1607 or 1609, somewhere around that period. So they had telescopes to observe it, but it was a very basic telescope.
That sounds fair enough. And now So it's named after solar eclipse also.
It's named because it was observed during solar eclipse. Not after solar eclipse, because it was even now you can observe it. You can even now you can see the green light. Of course, always you can see it whenever there is solar eclipse. But think what happens during solar eclipse, and that's when this is observed.
So of course, solar
as
eclipse.
As another hint, I'll give you. This was part of the quiz set which I did on at the end of December 2020. I made it as a 2 decades quiz. I made a question on each of the, each year of the 21st century. So this was part of that quiz.
So it's something.
This was one of the this was one of the questions related to one of the years of the 20 years of 21st century.
Okay, so one of my first guesses was you know what, that in solar eclipse, once the eclipse is entire, like total complete, right, they call it the ring. The ring happens, right? And it looks like a crown. Is it something? Am I on the right track?
You're on the right track. Go on.
And crown gives you corona.
Yes. And I need X. Oh, what was it called?
Interesting. What could they think it was?
Yeah, you almost got the answer. Like 75% of the answers. I need the exact name, what they named it as, the element. You got 75%.
But the element is not true, right? It's, I mean, it's not a real element.
The element is not true. It's not a real element. They believed it existed.
Coronium? I don't know.
Yes, yes, that's it. It's coronium.
That was entirely guess based.
Yeah. So this was the last question of the 21st century quiz. So 2020.
Actually, that was the hint. And it's, because the most important thing to have happened in the last 1 year or last year and a half has been corona.
So this was the question I dedicated to 2020. So coronium is the answer. Very few people got it, surprisingly. Everyone said, like few people said corona. But no one, like only one team got near to coronium.
I wouldn't have got it without the hint. I had no chance of, I wasn't even in the thinking about corona in those lines. That is a brilliant question. That's a brilliant question, Vishnu. If you're enjoying the show so far, good for you and good for us. As Shammi Kapoor once said, "Kyun na is dosti ko rishtedari mein badla jaye?" Now you can donate to help grow this podcast and also join a list of our special listeners who've done so. This will help us reach new audiences. So all you have to do is head over to instamojo.com/@studio41. instamojo.com/@studio41. Or you can PayPal us at paypal.me/studio41pod. As simple as that. Now on with the quiz. Now shall I go to the next question?
Yes, sure.
This is very easy question. This is a straightforward question, but something that I learned quite recently. So I thought I'll share it with everyone, those who'd be interested in this. So our postal system uses PIN codes for identifying places. In PIN codes, the first digit refers to the region, like a broader region where our letter or our parcel will go. For example, the PIN codes which start with 1 belong to the region which is north of the country. So, Delhi, Haryana, Punjab, J&K, Himachal Pradesh and Chandigarh. Similarly, if you go to PIN code 7, if a place starts with PIN code 7, that will be to the east of the country. West Bengal, Odisha, Assam, Sikkim, Arunachal Pradesh, Nagaland, Manipur, Mizoram, Meghalaya, Tripura and also Andaman Nicobar. So, similarly, different regions, different clusters of states have different PIN codes starting the first letter. So, PIN code 2, PIN codes which start with 2 are Uttar Pradesh and Uttarakhand. PIN codes which start with 3 are Gujarat, Rajasthan. And 4 is Chhattisgarh, Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Goa. Then 5, 6, we go south of India. As I said, 7th is east. And 8, PIN code 8 is Bihar, Jharkhand. What I want you to tell me is, what does PIN code starting with 9 denote?
If Union territories?
No. So, union territories are included in these. So, for example, okay. PIN code 3 is for Gujarat, Rajasthan, Daman Diu, and Dadra Nagar Haveli.
Okay.
So, PIN code 5 is Andhra Pradesh, Karnataka, and Puducherry.
Okay.
Yeah.
To the army people, you know this one, right? If you want to send a letter to the Maitri Research Center at Antarctica, you have to put the PIN code of post office near Goa. So that's where the first ship to first expedition to Goa started. So if you want to write a letter to Goa,
to Antarctica,
you need to write it to Goa. It goes to Antarctica.
I didn't know that.
I was thinking about that, but you said Goa is already covered in four.
But you mentioned the answer, correct answer somewhere. So I think you should go back to some of your earlier guesses. I think I heard you say the correct answer.
Yeah, the naval. I was guessing the either merchant navy people or the people who are in the submarines or the Indian Navy, Indian Naval Force. One of the ships, basically.
You are sort of close to the answer. You are in the right track, but not specifically the correct answer.
Okay.
Actually, you are going into an extremely specific use case, if I can call it that.
Okay. Extremely specific, you're saying. So, basically, the seafarers. If you want to write to seafarers.
No.
Or...
I mean, if there are seafarers, they can always come back to land in certain wildlife. I think so, at least.
I think... See, wherever we have a consulate or consulate in other countries, that's considered as Indian territory, right? Any consulates, consulate in India or India's consulate in other countries, they're considered as Indian territory. So, if you want to write to these consulates, maybe that's where we use
starting
line.
With 9. No. But that's a really good guess. You are moving away, but that was a really good guess. I think you mentioned one word which I am looking for in general. You did mention that one word earlier.
Space scientists?
No.
No, we don't have anyone in space.
Anyone
yet.
Out there in space right now. And I don't think you can send a letter to space. I don't think it'll be feasible. But you did give out the word, I think, which is the answer. Casually, I think I heard you. I think you casually mentioned it.
Indian Armed Forces placed in different countries, UN Peacekeeping Force, or we have a...
Correct answer is, in fact, it is the Army Postal Service. So no matter in the country, there is an army post, the PIN code will start from 9, and then the later digits will probably break it down to which part of the country the letter has to go. So how it usually happens is the first letter is, as I said, it gives a broader region. And so... If PIN code 1 is Delhi, Haryana, Punjab, Jammu, Kashmir, Himachal Pradesh and Chandigarh, then what will follow after 1 will either send it to Delhi or Haryana or Punjab or these states. What will follow after that, the next digit will specify a district in that state. And then the next number will specify a certain, a town inside this district or certain place, certain ward in that district. That's how they break it down. And then the final digit is of the post office in that thing. So that's how they break it down. But for Indian Army, they have created an entirely different postal arm. And that starts with digit 9. But you were there in the ballpark. You were there in the ballpark from the beginning.
So when you asked the question, my first thought went to Goa and Antarctica.
I had no idea about that. That is something that I learned today. That you could send a letter to Antarctica through Goa. And with that, Vishnu, we come to the final segment of this episode, of this quiz, which is the audience question. So what we'll do is, you have a question set for the audience. This question, the audience can listen to it. They can listen to it again and again. And if they know the answer, or if they think they know the answer to the question, all they have to do is get in touch with us on our social media handles. That is @QuizTimeIndia on Instagram and on Facebook, or @PodcastStudio41 on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. And then from all the correct answers that we get, we will pick one answer. So tell me, what is the question for the audience?
So audience question, it's a simple one. You know the shredders, right? Paper shredders are there.
Mm-hmm.
So we have cross shredders now. But these were innovated after a certain geopolitical event in late 70s in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
This was required as a simpler shredder has put the lives of several in danger.
Mm.
So which event, which was also later scripted into a book and a movie, forced the Americans to create cross shredders?
Yeah. All right. So that is the question. If you know what event it is, all you have to do is find us on social media. As I said, @QuizTimeIndia on Facebook and Instagram, and @PodcastStudio41 on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. And with that, we come to an end of the quiz. So Vishnu, if
yes.
our listeners would like to find out about your work, about your quizzes, or if there are any upcoming quizzes that you are hosting, you can please let us know and tell us how do we contact you and how do we get in touch with you and what quizzes do you have coming up?
Yeah. The listeners can check out my work or my upcoming quizzes on our website. That's tacon.org, tacon.org. We are hosting a quiz with INTAC on 18th of April. That's the World Heritage Day. So that's a quiz on Indian heritage. So all the listeners can simply come to our website. You'll find the link there. You can register there. That's free and open to all. That's it. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Details are everywhere. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram and our website. And thank you, Aditya, for giving this, for inviting me to the show.
I hope you enjoyed the show. So Vishnu, thank you once again. And with that, we bring the show to an end. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. Remember, wherever you're listening to our podcast, be it on Spotify, Saavn, Gaana, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, do follow or subscribe the podcast so that the next time an episode is out, you will get to know and you won't have to come looking for us. Furthermore, do subscribe to our newsletter. This content, it takes a whole lot of effort and I think it's pretty cool, if I may say so. Also, finally, you can, of course, donate to the podcast to help grow this podcast. And on that note, I take your leave. Thank you for your time. You can thank me for mine.